to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Welcome back to Action Jacks. I'm Tim O. Mr. Thomas Hall on the board. S&P futures up 250. NASDAQ futures up 375. Now futures up 26. We have Kevin. Do we have me? I'm not getting my stuff through the earphones here.
Are you getting me through the phone?
I am. I'm getting you. I'm good. All right.
All right.
Not quite the same feedback as normal, but we're okay. We have S&P futures up 2. As if he's up 3 figures after a rally yesterday. This is 3 days this week, Kevin. We've sat for 2 or 3 hours, maybe 4, up or down 65 spook points, just sitting there during the day. We've had 2 of them that are up now, 1 down. And, the other one was up for a while, or was down for a while, and then it turned around up. So really, it's almost every day. And the close, whichever direction we are, we scoot 20 points the other way because everybody thinks tomorrow won't be the same thing. Very, very strange for that size move, and not sure what this all means. We did have a big move up in interest rates. When you say big, it's we're up to 1.58, maybe heading towards, I guess it was over 1.6 for a little bit. Kevin, the institutional lack of knowledge and where this could all head, I absolutely don't get. I mean, I thought all these people are supposed to be so intelligent these days because these schools charge so much money. Just saying.
Well, if it were such a good deal, maybe, I don't know, maybe we would be in a better place.
This is strictly, I mean, obviously this is my area. But, you know, the history of all this was, in many times before, they've had central governments feel the urge to send out more money. Because guess what? If you make more money for a while, it looks like you're doing really good. And as Milton Friedman said, nothing feels better than the first dose of inflation. Because the people who are making the money have it, right? The government and so forth. And so all this happened. We had this horrendous deal in this country. We've had other bouts of inflation and deflation before and after wars and things like that. And we've had times when people have, we've had some mercantilist stuff before we were even a country where countries would continually, when the gold, it was a gold standard, you couldn't make more gold, but what you'd do is you'd devalue your currency to everybody else's. So you'd say, okay, instead of $35 an ounce for gold, for dollars, it would be $40 an ounce. So the other country would say, well, I'll make ours 50 rubles an ounce instead of 40. So and eventually people would get to the point where it's a zero-sum game. But this whole mess was not that long ago. I mean, if you're 20 years old, I guess 45 years ago is a long time ago. But in terms of the knowledge we have and the books you have and those kinds of things, it wasn't that long ago. So it obviously went through the whole story of the 70s and 80s, and the villain was the Fed. Absolutely and entirely was the Fed. And you had a person who started a school, the Monetarist School of the University of Chicago, Milton Friedman, who blamed the Fed the whole way through. They finally listened to him. You had Volcker in there, and he crunched the money supply back down, and voila, the inflation was gone, although he took an industry with him. And in my mind, didn't do a very good job, but that's another story. But now here we are later. I must have heard 15 people on CNBC yesterday identifying this problem in the supply chain, this problem here, this problem there. Not one of them said the problem is the Fed. Why are we just as collectively stupid as we were in 1972, Kevin? When we have had nothing but research, nothing but people going to economic schools, spending fortunes between now and then. How is this not everyday knowledge that the reason why prices are flying up is because the money supply is up 40% in the last 2 years? How do you talk about inflation all day long and not mention it? Oh man,
it is a tough call. I do hear it you know, it's not everybody. It's not close to everybody, but I do hear it sometimes on the business channels, but not as frequently. When Kenny goes on, he talks about it all the time.
Well, yeah, but he's on Fox now, right?
Yeah.
Well, and the CNBC, so all they do, it's sort of like if a river is coming up.
He's on Fox Business, which right. is different than Fox News.
But it's like if you have a river coming up and somebody goes, oh, man, if we just didn't have a leak in that basement. Oh, if we just didn't have a leak in that garage. Buddy, it's the river coming up. What do you do? At some point, it's going to be everywhere. What are you missing? I mean, it's the same sort of an analogy. And I just, but the things that we're concerned with, the only people who talked about it before, Carl and I talked about it a little bit. My brother Dan, every once in a while, when he digs up, because he's a, well, he was on the CBOE for a while, but he was on the CBOT for longer, trading corn options, and he really loved it. You know, Dan being the accountant guy that he is, and digs in just like he does for people's stuff here. He does a nice job. But he would really dig into corn prices and soybean prices and how this stuff all means. And he got into
world. Just trying to figure out how to make beer out of them.
Well, that's you can't really make. I don't think you make beer out of corn.
I think Dan can make
either,
beer out of anything.
If anybody could pull it off.
Well, I know one thing's for sure is he goes to the end of the earth to order hops, different kind of hops from people, and even was growing some for a while. They look just like a marijuana plant. I don't know if in the area you want that in your backyard, but anyway. But there's these world price things, and he shows me this one a while ago. I think I talked about it, where the column on there you want to look at is cereal. And once cereal gets over 5 hours a day, most of the world can't afford to eat. And the last time this happened was when we had the Arab Spring and every revolution's all over the damn place. Yeah, we don't seem to think that we're exporting this inflation to places that absolutely can't afford it, Kevin. I mean, this is not something that is, I mean, let's put it this way. I'm not that unique to pick up on this stuff, and neither is he. I mean, we're paying a lot of people a lot of dough to know the stuff we're talking about on this show, and it does not seem to, it doesn't register with me, does it? I mean, don't people realize that inflation is a horrendous tax, especially to a third world country?
Tom, we have people who are really good at spotting symptoms and either willfully ignoring causes or just oblivious to them.
Well,
and that's so widespread. You mentioned supply chains earlier. Everybody says supply chain problems. Gee, how did that happen? Well, I don't know. Maybe we shut down the economy and gorped everything up, you know.
But this supply chain problem, I can't say it as good as you can, does not mean...
It's okay, there's other things I'm trying to say for years that I can't
get out. But supply chain issues do not mean a general increase in price. They're two totally different things. Why don't these morons know that?
I think they have their own impact. It's just it's a different impact. And you're right, it may not be a general increase. Although, if nothing's getting through the ports, then I think that's going to affect a lot of stuff.
Well, they were ranting and raving.
Right, I'm not arguing with you on that one.
Well,
I agree with you.
Here's the issue. I don't know. The yesterday we had the two young ladies on CNBC, and they're both good. They were ranting and raving for the better part of a friggin' hour about it takes 2 to 3 days or 4 days for a container ship. They have to wait at a Chinese port. Okay, I guess. Now, what does that do for me, Kevin?
It doesn't do much. What does it do to you if they have to wait at Long Beach for 2 to 3 weeks?
Okay, but I guess what I'm saying, in the best of times, I can't believe a container ship pulls up and they've got a mariachi band waiting for them at the dock. There has to be some kind of a 1 or 2 or 12-hour delay normally. But before you say 4 days is something that you shouldn't be able to sleep at night, tell me what it is normally. It can't be 20 minutes. I mean, I can't believe that Long Beach is not kind of booked most of the time, and it's of several days before you...
But when they're understaffed is why it's piled up. When you tell people for months not to go to work, and so nothing's getting through the port, and now you have to play catch-up. You know, if you're designed for a capacity of, I don't know, let's just, you know, take a number out of the air. If you have a capacity of 50 a day, that you can unload, and now you have a backlog that requires you to catch up by doing 80 a day, and you're not staffed for 50 a day, and in fact you're staffed for 30 a day. This is just going to continue to get worse.
But what you just said is exactly what I want to hear. Don't tell me that there's a 2-week deal. Tell me that there's 50 slots, and there normally is 30 guys in each slot, and it takes 2 days to unload a ship. And now, since we only have 20 days for each slot, it's taking 50% longer to. And in other words, the story we're getting is all hyperbole. It doesn't actually tell us what the problem is.
Right, and that's where I go back and I say we're really good at identifying symptoms and ignoring causes.
And I,
you know, but whether there's somebody in the world who's addressing causes is another matter. But you know, our deep thought news media just can't manage to take the deeper dive for us.
Well, I'm gonna pull out my sheet here, my labor sheet first, because we're obviously gonna talk about this after the numbers come out with Carl. But I'm curious. I mean, after you hear people talking ad nauseum about labor shortages all over the place, at some point even I want to go, okay, wait a minute, what exactly is going on here? And I'm looking at this, Kevin. Now the numbers today are supposed to come out with 500,000 jobs, and we're down to 5.1%. I'm going to say that the biggest shift here since December of 2019, which is before all this crap started, right? The biggest shift is essentially 4.5 to 5 million people. Now, if we get 500,000 today, that means like 4 million people essentially are not going to be working that were working in 2019, and the unemployment rate is going to be almost as low. It's going to be 5.1 instead of 3.7. It's not quite as low, but we're only talking probably 2 million more people that are, quote, out of work that are looking for jobs. Maybe not even that. Maybe more like 1.5. So the question is, where did the other 3.5 million people go? And are all of them in these industries that people talk about? I mean, it sounds like hear everybody talk, the 3 million people we're missing are all in their place. I mean, a dock worker thing seems to me to be a pretty darn good job. But somebody would probably rather, instead of slicing carrots in a restaurant, work there. I bet you make a lot more dough. These seem to be somewhat higher paying jobs. I mean, it can't be a story.
However,
everywhere.
Operating all the equipment at the docks is skilled labor.
But now did all these people,
highly skilled labor that so are they training? I don't know the answer to this, by the way. But you know, how what's the lead time for training people? So if you can get people on the job because this is a good high-paying job, then the next step is, is that a 6-month process? Is that a 12-month process? And I don't know the answer to that.
But because I think these are things I think that, you know, because of the detail and obviously what you do and what I do, you can't just blow by the reasons for stuff. I mean, if I'm Joe Biden, good Lord.
I would also say there's an additional reason, right? Like, we're now instituting mandates to have jobs in certain corporations. Isn't that going to affect the unemployment as well?
But I mean, at some point, I guess I want to say, Thomas and Kevin,
especially in California, where they've been, they've been at that for a longer period of time. So if you have people not going back to work in California, well, that just happens to be the two biggest ports of entry.
Well, I guess what I'd like to do, Kevin, before I'm never going to figure out this whole thing, and neither are the three of us, but what I'd like to do, if I was Joe Biden and I flew out there to rail about, God knows what he's railing about, at some point I'd like one of my entourage, I was going to say flunkies, go ahead of me and say, this guy Kevin's ahead of this poor place. Ask Kevin to have a list of, you know, the 1,000 guys that used to work there before, and now the 800 guys that work there now, and he can't find 200. I just want to sit down and talk with him. Let's put it out on the office table or the conference room table. All right, this guy's gone. Where's he? This guy's gone. Where's he? I need to get a feel, Kevin, of where the hell everybody is. I mean, if half of them, if 20 of them died of COVID, well, then I know there's 20 of them that we can't account for. If 50 of them said screw it and they retired, then I want to know that. If I won't let 50 of them back because they don't have a shot, which I doubt, I mean, there doesn't seem to be any collective knowledge of where the hell is everybody. Or at least I don't have it.
No, there isn't. And so you say, well, if you were Joe Biden or, you know, a lot of the people working for him, you're talking like someone who's actually had a job in the private sector and the kinds of questions you might ask. They're not.
Is it really that?
Instead, you hear what the president said yesterday about United Airlines?
I'm trying not to listen to
them. See the headlines and reports of mass firings and hundreds of people losing their jobs. Look at the bigger story. United went from 59% of their employees vaccinated to 99%. So that tells you where the administration's priority is. It's not on having the number of people employed that you want. It's on the vaccination percentage.
Yeah, that's
I got news for the president. In addition to the people that you arm-twisted into getting the vaccines for United, the people who quit, when you lower the denominator, that percentage is going to go up. That's how the math works. And yet, he's just standing up there oblivious to all that. He says, you know, I don't care about the jobs lost. I don't care about the people that aren't working. I care about that high percentage number of vaccinations. That's so frigging stupid, I can't believe it.
Well, Kevin, it's obvious to me from the, not just the stuff that people send me here, but from the studies over in Israel, which are the ones I believe more than here, it's obvious to me that at some point somebody's got to grow a pair and tell Pfizer this vaccine is not working anymore like it was. You better adjust it for the new variant, or we're not going to pay for it. We're not going to jam it down people's throat or in their arm. I mean, it's obviously not. The booster shot should be different. Why give somebody the same thing that's fallen apart after 8 weeks? I'm not saying you shouldn't go get it. I think you should, but it's obvious to everybody that the thing is not doing as good a job as it did a year and a half ago or a year ago, isn't it?
Yeah, and yet everybody goes along with this. Despite that, they go along with whatever is being pushed out. And probably the best description I've seen of this week was talking about, we talk about the management class all the time, and the professional managers, I think the quote was, it's the most domesticated breed of human. They're so tied into the system to the point that they're nothing without it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your identity comes from being management in the system as it exists today. So they're just not going to go against any trend or against any, narrative that goes with it. And so you've got all these people just buying into must get jabbed.
Well, I think...
And you're right. No critical thinking when it comes to how effective this vaccine is.
Well, it's slip-sliding away. Now, would I still say somebody should go get it today? Yes. But how can I not be aware it's slip-sliding away? The study in Israel has it still. They still got it at like 90% of preventing death and hospitalizations and stuff. Which is slipping a little. But they're down to 34% on people actually, you know, getting it. I mean, it's the difference between people who haven't had a shot and people who have. Actually contracting that.
Yeah, but a third of their COVID deaths now in Minnesota are people who've been vaccinated. A third of the total deaths that they attribute to COVID have been vaccinated.
Well, I've had a big issue from day one with the attributed to COVID, a person with...
Well, they're counting them the same way they're counting non-vaccinated people.
That part I agree with, but the idea, I mean, I mentioned the other day that Audrey had a... Well, Audrey has a friend. I know the guy. I won't exactly call him a friend, but he's this Asian doctor who wrote this massive book on Asian remedies and so forth. And he told Audrey that when the COVID started, he goes, what a lot of people don't get is that there's 120,000 deaths every year that cold or flu cause. I mean, not somebody with some other bad problem catches a cold or flu, like Kenny Pulcheri's grandmother. He said she's 98 or something. She caught some flu 2 years ago and she died. He goes, well, that happens. And, but he, you know, and of course the people immediately started piling on me that where's Chief getting this number? And of course why are they criticizing me? So I go on Google and I go, how many people die every year of a cold and flu? And they say it's between 25,000 and 50,000. All right, so now, but if you dig deeper into the study, most states, flu is not a reportable disease. So what I didn't mean to say that that people died immediately from the from the flu. It means they have something else. I mean, you got somebody. I mean, we've had, you know, employees through the years that have gone through like chemotherapy. God, you don't ever want to get a cold or a flu if you're in chemotherapy, Kevin, for God's sake. But would it be fair to say that cold or flu, I guess it would be the near-term cause of death, but is it really the cause of death? No, I don't think. Because when the person was healthy, I'm sure they'd have no problem with the cold or flu, or at least a couple bad days. So whenever we wing these things around and wing money around to follow them, either somebody's behind us winging around the wrong numbers because they're getting the money. I mean, Pfizer is all over this crap. And there was a study last week that I read that somebody was popping out on the national TV. And of course, I digged at the bottom line like the idiot I am. And who do you think paid for the study? Pfizer. Now, why exactly would we believe that? It's like the American Airlines study that Harvard, they paid for at Harvard. It said, you got no problem catching, well, everybody else has to be 6 feet apart, sitting next to somebody in a plane is no problem. Well, what manner of moron would believe that, Kevin?
It's a common and long-standing advertising procedure to commission a study that is going to make you look good, and that's fine. You want to do that for, you know, 4 out of 5 dentists agree.
Yeah.
If you want to do that, that's fine, but. But this is different. This is something serious, and it's just so flagrantly dishonest for Pfizer to be commissioning studies like that, and then people to be stupid enough to cite them.
How does, after somebody who I keep threatening to go to get the sovereign state of ITT and read like a paragraph every day for a week or something? How does this cycle get broken, Kevin? Well, on the supply chain side. How all of a sudden do we get some people back? Are we going to try and one of this? I mean, I tell you what, in Chicago, my solution isn't, boy, I'm sure that wouldn't be all that popular. I think you stop letting policemen retire at 55, and you have them do another job until they're 65. I mean, you can retire whenever you want. You don't have to go to work. It's America. Nobody has to just force you to do anything. But
yeah, but we won't pay.
Except take a vaccine.
Yeah, except take a vaccine. But we're not going to pay till you're 65.
Oh, gotcha.
But I mean, like Major League Baseball players can retire after 5 or get cut after 5 years, but I don't think they get their first check till they're 50 or 40, somewhere in there. I'm not sure what that is. But what I'm saying is we can't let these people. We can't have 6 or 7 perfectly able-bodied people sitting in the column of we don't know what they're doing when we're paying them.
I mean, let's do it this way. Let's look at it another way. Maybe the labor market needs more supply then, more competition. And so, what if we let 1 million people into the country this year, instead of scattering them hither and yon and losing track of them? Maybe the right thing to do would have been to set up a legal immigration policy and let people, you know, come into work, construction, farming, you know, even if it's low skill stuff, you know, we can start handling a lot of that, and then, you know, not everybody that comes into the country is low skill. So if we theoretically are going to sympathize with people who want to come into the country because they want a better life and they want to work, then why don't we make it possible? Why don't we come up with a guest worker program that is going to make it work? But nobody wants to solve that particular
problem. No, God, no.
They just want to bitch about the...
Well, we got to get a break here. You know, I've said it 10 times. I said, give me anybody who's got the stones to walk from El Salvador through Mexico with all the bandidos and make it to our border. I'll take my chances on 500 of those people. I'll drop them right in Inglewood where there's an old abandoned school with showers and a big cafeteria. And I'll bet you in 2 years I have a thriving community, Kevin, if I'm willing to do the work. They're not all crooks. They're not all criminals. I mean, this idea. I mean, I'd take a chance on those people tomorrow, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm sure there's a few bandidos in the group, but SP Futures up 5, NASDAQ Futures up 20, Again, with the we got the labor report in an hour. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ali's Thomas Hall on the board. SP Futures up 4, NASDAQ Futures up 15. So we're up a little bit. Again, yesterday we were up huge most of the day and then slid on the close, and we gave back like a third of it, but still we're up pretty solid. Dow Futures up 42, individual stacks, nothing really moving that I can, of any kind, because Goldman Sachs up $1.88, but Goldman Sachs has been up and down a lot these days. Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei up 370, 1.4%, Shanghai up 24. Wow, they actually opened. I don't even know what the holiday was over there. Golden Week holiday. Not sure what that is, but it's not the new year, but it's a Golden Week holiday. Anyway, they're up 24.7%. So that's from a week ago, which goes to show you really not much changed on the whole week ago, even though every day we're flying all over the place. Hang Seng up 136.5%. Remember, they're up like 3% yesterday. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 10. Call that flat. FTSE up 3, call that flat. Cacarano over down 21, it's 0.3%, not much, but they're at least enough to where we want to give a percentage. Yesterday, Dow was up 337. Again, it was up 500 most of the day, and it slid 160 in the last 20 minutes. S&P Futures were up 36. They were up 60 most of the day. NASDAQ up 152, and they were up over 200 most of the day. So, again, we're sliding into the close because we think we're going to keep doing this back and forth, back and forth. I don't know, maybe we will, maybe we won't. Bonds, Yeah, call them on change at 1.58, even though they did trade over 1.6 this morning. Bun, minus 0.16. That's positive 0.02. Are these guys actually going to make it to even? How they could still be negative over there with the inflation numbers they've been putting out? I have no idea. Japan, well, the government's buying them. That's what, I guess that's the idea. Japan up to positive 0.08. Are they going to get to in a positive 0.10? Wow, that'd really be something. Oil up 60 cents, 78.90. Wow, Brent up 60 cents, 82.55. Natural gas unchanged at 568, way down from 610 when Putin said he was going to help out Europe. I'm not so sure you want that guy's help, but anyway, he's going to help out Europe. Arbob up a penny, 234. Got gold up 430, 1763. Silver down 7 cents, 2258. Copper unchanged, 423. And we've got Bitcoin up 1300 to 55,415. And of course, all the Bitcoin people were on yesterday about how this is the greatest new asset class, and you got to be in on it. And it's not just a fake stock that's worth nothing, but it's, but you know, a lot of stocks are looking at them, they don't think they're worth much, and they're trading pretty high. So, Thomas, what do you got for us for heavy weather sports? White Sox, not so good. They didn't look good at all.
They did not. Good morning, everybody. It is now 6:36 here in the Chicagoland area. Our weather is as follows. It's currently 67 degrees. We're going to reach a high of about 72, and we have a slight chance of rain throughout the course of the day and a slight overcast. Our Phoenix listeners were currently at 72. They're going to reach a high of 91, Chief, so pretty clear skies, almost no chance of precipitation there. In Chicago, traffic pretty clear as the people make their way in towards the downtown area. There is one notable thing to look out for, and that's on the crews have blocked three lanes on our Lakeshore Drive northbound area near the Oak Street curve in response to a single vehicle crash. So kind of beware for that if you are on Lakeshore Drive. Sports Chief, as you had stated earlier, the White Sox did fall in their ALDS game, Game 1 against the Houston Astros. They fell 1-6, could not get the bats going, and we'll try to rebound in the next game. The other game of note in the American League was the Tampa Bay Rays winning 5-0 against the Boston Red Sox. They are now up 1-0 in their best-of-five series. And in the NFL, the Rams were able to defeat the Seahawks 26-17. The Rams are now 4-1. The Seahawks are now 2-3. And our WNBA Sky will soon tip off for the WNBA Finals. So, Chief.
How bad do you got to bleep up to be 4 hours in a single car crash on Lakeshore Drive to still be blocking three lanes? How can you do that by yourself without hitting anybody?
Well, and at that time of the morning, right?
Well, I think maybe they were excessive speed might have been a problem.
So, quickly, I remember when there was a very heavy snowstorm, and right around the bend, right where the Drake Hotel is,
yeah.
I remember having one of my first cars and literally doing a 360-degree spin-out turn because the traction was so bad, and I was fortunate enough that there was nobody around me at the time. And just, you know, you go through that, and you're on Lakeshore Drive, and that'll get the heart pumping.
Maybe you didn't shouldn't have believed the guy when he said ball tires are the best.
Well, I thought it was a low fade. I didn't think it was a complete bald.
God, the so Kevin, now
before you go, you mentioned Putin, and you made me think of the Ronald Reagan quote about the most terrifying words in the English language. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Yeah.
I think we can update that and say, I'm Vladimir Putin, and I'm here to help.
Yeah, I was listening yesterday. I don't know where I was hearing this, but they were talking about all these ransomware things. But virtually none of them are from China. That they're all from the Soviet, I was going to say the Soviet bloc over in that area. It might not be all from Russia. They're from that whole area, and it...
Well, but they're, you know, one of the complaints is that they're Russian people, and as long as they don't go after Russian companies, that they're tolerated in Russia. Nobody's going to bother them, and so that's really the problem. In some cases, they may very well be Russian state-sponsored, But in many other cases, it's just that they refuse to do anything about them, and that's the big problem. I also suspect that they get discovered. I doubt that China is doing any less than Russia, and maybe doing more. They're just better at it.
Yeah,
they're better at not getting caught.
I have a bunch of questions, but so are you going to make some money this year from your investment last year?
Which one was that?
The rumor has it you went out and bought like 15 freezers, and since nobody could have Thanksgiving dinner, the big turkeys were down to like 4 cents a pound, and you went out and bought them all, and now this year you're going to sell them for a regular price. Or headline is,
you know, if only I had gone and bought like a, you know, just a mini, not a mini fridge, but a mini freezer about the size of those mini fridges, I could probably be selling those for hundreds of dollars a pop, $500 a pop.
Well, I don't know about that, but it'd be big turkeys return for this Thanksgiving. See, that's what happens in every little business, you know. Last year, remember how many big turkeys were left in stores? Because nobody wanted to, what are you doing with a 22-pound turkey if you get anybody over? Just saying.
Yeah. So it's the return of the big turkey.
Yeah.
All the ones that didn't get slaughtered last year, now they're just a little older and a little fatter.
And maybe tougher. Who knows?
That sounds like pursuit back to office.
Yeah.
The return of the big turkey.
That's exactly.
The big turkeys. That could be a movie. You know, the revolt. The revolt of the big turkeys. The turkeys fight back.
Yeah, I mean, it's a. It is interesting, Kevin, because all this stuff seems to be, to me, there's somewhat of a collision course here someplace. And I don't know, you hear anecdotal things, I mean, we were there, I've been paying closer attention since we met the two people at Mart Anthony's, and the one lady had said how many people short they were at their high school. I think I've heard from then something like the Chicago public school system is short like 20,000 people or 15, and my nephew's lovely wife said that they're overloaded with people in their area, in the suburb. They're in where's the soccer stadium out west? They don't use anymore. Whatever. It's not Brighton Park. She teaches in. It's not Burbank. It's Bridgeview. And she says, yeah, they're overloaded with people. She thinks they all came from this. All the suburban areas now have a bunch of people that they didn't expect. So they're all crowded, and the city's short. I mean, there's a lot of changes here that are kind of going around. And you see prices of houses in the city going up. I mean, the suburbs going up. You see them in the city going down. And you look at this, Kevin, and the whole 2008-2007 fiasco is a... had the same significant other, and we would discuss for a while, she says, you should be buying a house. And I said, I had a bunch of studies, or a couple anyway, that said, okay, 85% of the population cannot afford, at these prices, the median house. You know, I look at that, Kevin, and I go, I am not smart enough to say when this is going to be a problem, but I know it's going to be a problem. Unless all of a sudden we all decide we're going to, and not funny money, we get real money where all of a sudden everybody starts being way more productive and they keep, you know, if they hang in the house and they make 3% raise or 5% raise for the next 10 years, it won't be a problem. I get that part because I can do the math, at least I used to be able to. And we're at this, people, when you have somebody who buys a place for 365 or whatever the median house is up to in some of these in countrywide. I think it's up from what? Well, I don't know if it's that high, but I think it's up from one. It got down from 235 before 2007. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Kevin. Got down from 235 to 165, I believe, during the years after the mortgage crisis. Correct. And now I think are we back up to 325 or some huge number like that?
Yeah, we're up to a huge number. Now, here's my interesting question. If you started to go look at the financial statements of the banks, are they reserving? Are they fueling the loan loss reserves right now?
I don't think that they hold any of the paper. It's all sold out through Fannie and Freddie, just like it was before. They service it.
Yeah, you're probably right. As you say that, I think you're right. Although there are some banks that will hold their variables and they'll just dump the fixed.
Most of them hold the extent that
they have variables. Are they reserving for those?
I think they hold the jumbos. I don't think you can put those in the system if it's over like $600,000. It can't go into. Somebody probably knows that number of auditors here. She would know.
It depends on what part of the system, because there are non-government companies, sort of like Countrywide was, that are willing to buy portfolio loans.
Countrywide's an interesting name to lob into the conversation.
Yeah, no kidding.
But what I'm saying, if you do the math on this stuff, I was listening yesterday and. Everybody's convinced that the worst that could possibly happen is 2% interest. And, I know he loves his job and he loves being close to the Fed. You know, I was going to say like a lapdog, but I won't. Steve Leisman, was talking about, 2% money. And he actually, and these people, then again, Kevin, there's a part of me that wants to believe the people that the government hire as the best economists in the world at the Federal Reserve. And yet, and some of the people I've met that work at the Federal Reserve are some of the brightest people I've ever met, without a question. But I'll tell you, none of them are on the board. the board's all like policy and stuff. But the idea that they can actually say with a bare face, we're not going to raise rates until we're done with the taper. And I'm sitting there going, raising or lowering rates has to do with how much money is in the system. If you stop putting as much money in the system, or even worse, you start dragging money out. You can't tell me that doesn't affect interest rates. What do you think does? It's the amount of money that's in the system. Anytime you touch that number, you're touching rates. The idea that they're two separate things. Did anybody even have their first class in monetary theory? I mean, so they're talking about an interest rate of 2%. But Kevin, I don't even want to do the math, even though I have my new calculator. What if the average house that's 325 now, or somewhere in there. So even if you give somebody 20% down, which not many people have, so you're talking about $65,000. So where are you? Where you're down to 260 on a mortgage. If all of a sudden that mortgage 2 years from now is 4.5%, 5.5%, like more normal times, who the hell are you going to sell it to if you have to move? I mean, if you never have to move and you never lose your job and your mortgage strings out at 2.5%, the house is going to be underwater the whole time, but at least you will be okay, all right? And but the fact is, what's the normal time people spend in a house? 5-7 years, something like that. And it goes back and forth. It's like 7 years at the tops, right? Is the average? Who the hell are you going to sell it to? And I've heard numbers here in Chicago, Kevin. I 2 weeks ago I found the number about the taxation from the city and how there's two buckets. Well, it's probably more than two, but two big buckets. And one of them is the property tax, which comes out all itemized. This much is for mosquito abatement. This much is for streets and sand. This is from how much is for schools. Then there's the other side, which is the corporate account. Which is all the other crap, the amusement tax, your parking lot fees, all that stuff that you hate paying, that goes into the other stuff, and how that's down like an average of 40-50% this year, and now you've got the property tax, and people in my neighborhood just got a 40% increase in their valuations. Well, anybody who thinks in the last 3 years, whatever they do this, I don't know, maybe where's Audrey when I need her, or Jen Flanagan. How often you do this revaluation? Anybody who thinks these houses are actually up money? Well, maybe they are because of the general inflation they're pouring in. But downtown, I mean, one of the guys here in the building told me he heard some rumor that the building here that we're in, that's 13 stories high, and they just lost their biggest tenant. I think it was 3 or 4 floors in an engineering firm. They bought another place and need more room. They wanted to be all on one floor. How the hell are you gonna like double the tax of this building? I think it used to be like $60,000 10 years ago, and now it's $250 already. Are you going to make it
and
like
yet
four?
The city is going to be saying it needs the revenue. The state's going to be saying it needs the revenue. I think we're in for every bit the commercial crash that we're staring at for the retail side.
Well, I don't. I mean, as they used to say, you can't get blood out of a turnip. I mean, how does this building pay another $200,000? I mean, even today, I'm going to say there's four floors that are even here. There's four that are empty. They were full a year and a half ago. Now they got, I think, four that are empty, and we're here, but the two other people on our floor, they rarely use it. They're all working from home. They're here, maybe I see them once a month. And there's other floors here that they haven't seen a soul, or they come in and pick up the mail like once a week. That's all they see them. So
where to invest? You invest to people that have, that do contract office space. You know, I need office space for a meeting next month on this date. Can you rent me the space? And you know, so you need one of those companies.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree. What I'm saying is, where in the city do they think that that this check is gonna land? What's gonna end up happening is every single one of these buildings has to go to the four or five people that do the tax appeal process. They're all amazingly politically connected. You and I know one of them. And all of a sudden, it's a massive cottage industry for those people. And we had a guy who ran for tax assessor saying he wasn't going to raise anybody's stuff. He's raised everybody's stuff. So, to the...
Is that like a biggest lie in politics?
Well, but I'm saying, that's why the one thing I will always push back on my liberal friends, and I have liberal friends, I have conservative friends, I will always push back on the liberal friends. They say, how can anybody stand Trump? All he did was lie. And I said, yeah, he took it to a new level. But virtually everybody, there isn't anybody I know that doesn't feel that every single politician has lied to them their entire life. They've never once been told the truth. Okay, so he did it twice as bad. What's the difference? I mean, there's a big difference.
Speaking of Trump, have you seen the polling this week? One came out yesterday. Biden has lost 20 points on his honesty.
Well, he has none. That's my point.
Yeah, people are on to this. You know, usually it's my tribe, your tribe, and certainly it. You know, the poll still skewed. The Democrats still supporting his honesty, but he never had the Republicans, but he's lost the independents on this. And, it's just like Trump, you know, where there's a lot of people, as you've said many a time, will say, well, sure, everybody lies. Well, I think, you know, people are waking up to that idea that everybody lies.
Well, I mean, in Chicago, you always knew that, you know, a guy throw a baby off a bridge for a vote. I mean, and Clinton was the first guy that actually, the first that I read about. He actually, did you ever go to one of those focus groups?
Yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
They still have those? They must, I guess.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, for sure they do.
I get invitations to them once in a while. I'm just not interested in doing them.
What do they pay for? What do they pay now?
No idea.
No, but they probably pay you like $50.
Oh no, they were more net. They were more net in the '80s.
No, it depends on what the focus group was for.
That's right.
Yeah, so if it's like to go see like what do you think of this movie, like you know, and they'll drop you $50, and you know you spend 2 hours and yeah. But so, yeah, I've never gotten to the
plus popcorn, which is another $50 in the movie world.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I get to see a free movie, and you're going to pay me to see it. Yeah, throw me $50, I'll go.
I always thought those things were. My friend Robin, she of course Robin knew everybody, and so she had this older lady who put those things together, and they're always short people, right? So it's way back when we both started trading. I'm starting trading. I'm not making any dough, and Dr. J's working for me, and he's not making any dough because I'm paying him, right? So we're living in a house down south, and every once in a while, every month we get one of these focus groups, and I think a couple of them were like $100. So Jan and I we'd go, we'd get our hundo. And they're over like, you know, they'd start at like 5 o'clock. They're over at 7. So we'd grab our hundos. We'd head off to some nice dinner and we'd split the rest.
Yeah, I was going to say the 100 didn't make it home, did
no,
it?
Well, in those days, you could have a pretty nice dinner and a bunch of drinks for 100. You know, and so we end up with 50. But one night we're there, they're talking about sports cars and Mercedes and the rest of the sports cars. And what's your impression of people that drive these sports cars, convertibles? So they go, okay, what if it's a woman and she's in a Mercedes convertible, and this one guy goes, if she's blonde, if she's not a hooker, she ought to be. She's like a semi.
Isn't the other one?
The comments do not reflect.
A divorce settlement with her 30 years older husband.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And then the guy had the whole routine, and the lady doing it, she's kind of this look on her face. She goes, "Well, so what if, you know, she's in like a Jaguar or you know, Fiat convertible? It's okay that she probably bought it herself." I mean, where would you get that idea that if it's a Mercedes, you couldn't possibly have afforded it yourself, but if it was another brand, it probably was your... I had no idea where this guy was coming from, but John and I are sitting there trying not to burst out laughing. But
for context, this was in the 80s,
and
right?
You follow that up with the guy in the in the Corvette or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And you go immediately midlife crisis.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, some guy. So how old is he? Like 70? Same guy. I mean, he had it figured out, though, at least in his own mind, who was in what car, right? By the way, Audrey's cousin just sold some smoking hot yellow Vette to some guy who's like 84. He paid cash. He goes, "I always wanted to have one of these things. I don't know how much I got left, but I wanted to drive one." How much is it? It was like, I don't know, 75 grand. Here you go. Wrote him a check. You know, good for him.
Fun.
Anyway, so Kevin, there's a lot of hysterical bleeding about the economy. Doesn't seem to be a whole hell of a lot of knowledge. I am dying of curiosity, and maybe Carl is, he said he was going to work on it for me this week. I'm dying of curiosity is where exactly all these people are, or is it just no matter who you are, if you have anything wrong with your business, you say it's a labor shortage or I'm paying too much. That's the excuse of the week. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems like with 4 million people less working, that there probably is a problem someplace, because obviously they were somewhere and they're not, right? But now some of those places are plain closed. So, I mean, I got to believe, Thomas, you're in Chicago with me, and how many people...
Unfortunately.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. But I'm saying, if you strip away the McCormick Place, a lot of the hotels can't be doing anywhere near as much on the convention business. McCormick Place, there was a show there a couple of weeks ago, but they can't be back full-time. I got to believe that there's 100,000 jobs just not here in Chicago, maybe 200, I mean, with restaurants and bars that are just plain closed. I mean, there's got to be...
Not only that closed, but also people who are still in unemployment. Like, the amount of lack of urgency to get back to work and the ability to... I'm sure, like, if I wanted to go get a job right now, like, how you just walk up to any one of the major restaurants and I'm sure you could get one if you were in dire straits, right? Like... And I just think that there's just not that urgency, and for many reasons, right? Like the fact that, you know, you have these unemployment benefits if you qualify for them, and then
yeah, but that all stopped like 2 weeks ago, right, or 3 weeks ago, the supplemental.
I guess fortunately, I don't know for sure because I haven't had to take advantage of it, but. But still, like the thought process is, even if the supplemental ran out, there you still have the regular benefits, right? Like you're still going to get.
Yeah, they're not very much. You know, one way or not. And I don't.
You're not going to live large on that. So we'll see if there's a if jobs are starting to get filled with the supplemental expired, and in many cases, you know, I saw some surveying on that, and it was really about 50-50. There were about half of the people who were not working were saying, no urgency, as long as I'm getting paid. It's a rational decision. I'm not criticizing anybody or calling them lazy asses or anything like that. I'm just saying you're making a rational decision. If you're going to pay me $15 an hour not to work or $15 an hour to work, that's an easy call. But even if you're going to pay me $20 to work, what you're doing really is paying me $5 an hour to work because I already have $15 for sure guaranteed.
Well, plus I think so, if you... The cost of somebody going to work now with the cars and the gas.
Right, Tom, you factor that in because you've documented that a lot.
All right, Kevin, we got a dash. Carl's coming in. Maybe he has all the answers. But what are you thinking tomorrow? Virginia Tech.
Oh, not optimistic. But don't worry, you won't be able to see it unless you get the ACC network.
You really? Is that not on a regular thing?
Uh-uh.
Well, I guess that's good. What time is it, would it be on? But since I'm going to miss it, I don't care, I guess.
Yeah, but I can... Hold on, give me just a second.
One thing I absolutely am not going to do is buy the ACC network.
I have Google, or excuse me, YouTube TV, so...
Oh, God.
So I...
All right, bud, we got a dash.
I will have access to it.
Well,
as we look down, that looks more like a basketball schedule to me. Let's go back down to football. And it is on at 7:30. It's tomorrow night.
Yep, I think I won't be watching that. All right, bud. SP Futures up 375. Right back, Mr. Carl Denninger.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Thomas Hall on the board. SP Futures up 450. We've been, NASDAQ Futures up 24. We've been slightly positive most of the morning and last night, actually. Right about the same number. If we had a big up day yesterday, except it was not as big as we were all most of the day. We came back almost a third of it on the close, like we've been moving against where we were on the close every day this week. So it's a flash one way, and then we stick there for a long time, and then all of a sudden we go the other way and then close like a little bit. Carl, how are you? Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
How are you, bud?
Well, you know, other than having an acute caffeine deficiency, which I'm in the process of correcting, I'm great.
Well, there you go. What did you hear us bantering about your name in the first hour?
No, I unfortunately did not have it on today. I usually do.
We were talking about you, man. Just saying.
Well, you know, I guess the old ears burning thing didn't work. So
no, well, actually, it was all I'm zeroing in yesterday as we reach Friday of the week, and I've been had my ears plastered to financial.
The Friday of the week,
right? We are Friday, aren't we?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's right, but all right.
Well, it is Friday.
Yeah, I will. I'll summarize it for you, Carl. It was liberals this, Carl that.
Yeah,
that's essentially the whole conversation for the last 30 minutes.
Yes, liberals this, Carl that.
Well, you know, then all right, that would be why my ears were burning. But okay,
no, it was more.
Are you guys ready for a worse recession than 2000? Much worse than 2007, 2008, and maybe a 1929, 1930s style thing.
I, what I'm ready for, Carl, is somehow I see it just like you do. I somehow wish that somehow or another, like we've had in this country many times before, some leader shows up that is extra special and somehow saves us from that fate, but I don't see that.
It's not going to happen, and we might get, actually, we might get worse than the 1929-1930 debacle. We may get something more akin to what happened in the Soviet Union.
Why, I was just, actually, most of the conversation regarding you was having to do with the knowledge that we're trying to dig out for our for the listeners and for ourselves, to be perfectly blunt. I love the learning I do on the show. It should be out there. I was going to say, I listened to this financial press all week. They're stunned about maybe we have to go to 2% interest to stop all this inflation nonsense. And every price that goes up is a supply chain problem. There's no problem with, as long as we can borrow another $400 billion for the next month, everything's okay. Carl, this is, so I feel like it's a nightmare, and all of a sudden I'm going to wake up and find out that I can go somewhere for a Bloody Mary or something. This is all a dream or a bad dream. I can't believe the total collective lack of knowledge of where this is all heading.
Well, it's worse than that. What you saw yesterday, which was heavily censored because as soon as our current president started to bumble and mutter and not make any sense, they turned the monitors off and the cameras, which they have a habit of doing lately. I mean, this is a guy who gives his press conferences from a made-up set in the old executive office building. He doesn't even bother to use the White House. They have to, apparently, if you want a reason for it, it's probably because he needs like an 80-inch monitor for his teleprompter, 3 feet out of view of the camera, otherwise he wouldn't be able to read it. I don't know. I'm guessing there, but... The thing is, what you heard yesterday is him crowing about the fact that he has converted all these people who had stuck up the middle finger at these mandates into people who complied. This is how the Soviet Union collapsed, folks. This is exactly how it happened. Okay, you now have those people who took those mandates and quote-unquote complied. We tell you what the truth is about every single one of those people now. They are going to do the absolute minimum work required to not get fired from this day forward. Because they were forced. They didn't do this by choice, they were forced. They hate their boss. They hate the company they work for. They hate every screaming person that has wagged their finger at them. They hate this government. They hate Joe Biden. And they'd like to see every one of them bankrupt, gone, or maybe even dead.
Well, I hope it's not that bad, but,
Well, you know what it is? I got to tell you something. It is. And here's the problem. You can't reverse it. Okay? Because once you do that to somebody, they never forget. Okay? Think about what happened in the Soviet Union. You got to the point where you went to work every day. And this is why the nation fell apart. This is why communism in the Soviet Union failed. You went to work every day. You supposedly did your job, but when you got done, there was no bread on the shelf. Okay? And so you went to the store, and there was nothing there.
Okay.
And the reason there was nothing there is that the baker woke up in the morning, and he realized that no matter how hard he worked or didn't work, he got paid the same amount of money.
Well, Kyle, I don't... I don't like the idea... I mean, you know this. I don't like the idea that... when government can't force you to do something that they're to telling your employer, essentially enlisting your employer to do things for the government in return for something else, for the monopoly status they have or whatever. Now, I don't see how you could turn around if American Airlines does your bidding, how you can turn around tomorrow and have an antitrust suit against the five remaining airlines. I mean, I don't see how you can do that. Here's what I want you to do, if you can. Psychoanalyze me, because you and I are
good luck with that.
Yeah, roughly the same age. I mean, when I grew up, I know that my mom told me stories that the greatest thing that ever happened was the polio vaccine, that they were going to make a Jonas Salk.
Right.
You didn't have to. There was such a fear. There was a trust that this actually was the fix. You didn't have to drag people out of school to get that shot. Parents had their kids waiting in line. Now, I know I took...
I know. You know what the horror of that is? Is that if Sabin had not come along, we would have had the slaughter of probably 20% of the youth in America.
Well, because
it was non-sterilizing, the shot.
Yeah.
Okay, and the thing is that we've known it. I mean, Sabin came along, he figured out what was going on, and he stopped it, which is why he got the little sugar cube thing, or in my case, it was a little vial full of this chalky-tasting liquid.
I love the sugar cube guy, but when you took the sugar, nobody knew that. That was just the new one you took.
Oh, I know, but you know what? Here's the thing. You didn't have the situation we have now, okay, which is that you have a president of the United States who stands up in front of the dais and says, you will do this, it works, and oh, by the way, it stops people from getting it, it stops people from getting sick, it stops people from dying. And he knows, because they did the analysis. There's a project called SALIS. It was reported. They've now taken the website down, but it was reported back into the government that as of August, the vast majority of people over the age of 65 who have ended up in the hospital, not just getting COVID, but in the hospital, were fully vaccinated.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So they knew that as of August 7th, the shot didn't work anymore. And it wore, basically it wore off. They went, those people that are older went first. Okay. And it wore off. So it stopped working. And yet he stood up there yesterday and repeated the same BS that we've been hearing for months, that this is entirely the unvaccinated people's fault. They're the only people who are going to the hospital. They're the only people who are dying. Everybody else is fine. Go get the jab. Nothing bad will happen. Except sometimes bad things do happen.
Well, that's my...
Okay, you go get the jab, and then, you know, and then 2 weeks later, you fall over dead from a heart attack.
Well, that's my concern, and it's why, if you can analyze me, maybe we can answer the question you just sort of answered it. I had the smallpox vaccine. Matter of fact, I think I had it 5 times, Carl, because I never got the scar. Every time I went to a new doctor, he said, this kid's not been vaccinated. My mother goes, yeah, it's been like 3 times. Oh, we got to do it again. I couldn't have taken it. But that one didn't hurt that much. It was just weird. But, I mean, I don't have a problem with people not having measles, getting the measles. Why do I feel so different this time? Is it because it's too fast? It's because I've heard so much BS along the way that these guys have thrown at me. I mean, right now, I don't have a problem with the booster, but how is it that the booster is the same as the other two that aren't working? It can't be the same shot. There should be something that says, okay, this will at least attack the new variant better. It can't be the same thing.
But Chief, it can't. It takes too long. Okay, that's the whole reason this can't work. Okay, is that these viruses are in a class that mutate all the time. Polio didn't do that. Measles doesn't do that. These viruses do. We've tried to do this before. We've tried to do this in animals. We've tried to do it and we've never gotten to human trials before because we've always found that either it doesn't work or it becomes dangerous over time. But in animals, every single attempt at this has either led to the death of every animal under test or it has worn off, it has stopped working, and you've ended up with a repeated regime that had to be put in, you know, that had to be reapplied every few months. And that is the history on this technology in this strain of viruses. And there's not a thing you can, you know, the idea that we somehow have become magical, that we can change things that we've known for decades is crazy.
But it seems to work. Once something works somewhat, I'm always of the idea, just like the polio vaccine, somebody's smart enough to make it work better. Because it looks like it works somewhat, at least.
Well, for a little while. But see, that's the whole problem, is that a little while isn't good enough when you've got something that has the kind of hazard profile that this one has. Okay, this is not the same thing as a polio vaccine. The smallpox vaccine, for that matter. You know, the smallpox vaccine screwed about 1 or 2 in 1 million people that got it.
Well, not very many.
It was extraordinarily safe. Okay, about 1 or 2 in 1 million people ended up with their immune system going bananas and crazy, and they essentially got screwed as badly as they would have got screwed if they got smallpox. Okay, so, you know, which means for a lot of them, they died.
Well, you know,
it was 1 or 2 in 1 million. That's insignificant. That's not the case here.
Well, I didn't know. How does, just an off-the-wall question, I've actually read that if somebody, if you're somewhere where there, nobody's vaccinated, if somebody gets smallpox, you actually get like, you get a couple of days where you could vaccinate them after they already got it, and you can still save them.
Maybe. Yeah, but see, it's, you know, but again, we're talking these different viruses, different diseases, different bacterial viruses, for that, you know, bacterial diseases, for that, they behave differently. They're not the same. This virus is in a class of, they're called beta coronaviruses. They've been around forever in both animals and humans. There was one that caused a pandemic, we think. We're reasonably sure in the 1890s. We're not completely sure because there are no samples that were fixed, you know, and I mean, we didn't have formaldehyde and all that beyond. So 20, 30 years later, we did, which is why we know what happened with 1918 with the flu pandemic. And actually, it wasn't the flu that killed almost everybody. It was a bacterial infection. Okay. So we learned and we get better. And yes, there have been miraculous things that have come out of modern medicine. And most of the vaccines that we all have taken, okay, you know, for against measles, and if you didn't have measles, you had measles, but, you know, I was at an age where I got the shot because we had it available. I didn't get the measles. I got chicken pox because there was no shot. My daughter got the shot when she got to the point that she was about to go into school and hadn't gotten chicken pox yet. Well, I'd already had it by that point, but that's because everybody around me had stabbed their kids when they were, you know, one.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, the mumps was later, right? Is that like the latest vaccine on the big three?
Which one?
The mumps was later, I thought.
Yeah. Mumps was later, and again, you know, mumps is one of, well, you know, measles, mumps, and rubella, okay, are given together, and my mom. But the thing is, rubella, the primary, really ugly part of rubella is if you get it as a pregnant woman, it's
you're screwed. I mean, even that's why you got to be real careful if a nurse is pregnant and somebody or patient has shingles.
Right, and it's, yeah. And you know, it's the same sort of thing. But this is, we have taken everything we've learned over 60, 70 years and we threw it in the trash can. And some of this is just the ghoulish nonsense that comes out of people like Fauci. Okay, nobody wants to look at what he did when AIDS started going around. He was one of the chief screamers that was telling everybody that a third of the American population was going to get it and die.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was full of crap, okay? I mean, that's being polite. But that guy has been wrong and has shoveled more Americans into the hole over the last several decades than anybody in American history. He's doing it now. And the problem is, if this goes bad, and I don't know how bad it's going to go. You've got enough of an attitude problem with people like Biden running around doing this kind of thing because now you've destroyed the work ethic in arguably those who are the most productive members of any team in any company. They either submit because they're over-levered and they can't walk off the job without ending up on the street in a month.
Yeah, you can't.
Okay, in which case, okay, they do it, but now they hate you.
Well,
the other possibility is that they put the middle finger up and they go off and they do other things. They go to work for somebody who's smaller and you know, says, hey, we're not doing this. And now your talent walks out. And think about what happens in defense, okay? Defense contractors, all of whom have been mandated, okay, under Biden's little executive order, okay, fine. Except it takes a year, roughly, to get a top secret clearance, starting from zero. If you have to have compartmentalized access, or SAP, or even worse, good God, SAP access, which is, that's for things that really nobody, you can't even speak the name of the program. If you've got that sort of a requirement, and one of your engineers that has those clearances walked out, it's going to be 2 to 3 years before you can replace them. There's no way around this.
Well, let's use this as a segue. What Kevin and I were talking about that you were going to fix for us is everybody talks about all these shortages, and I look at the chart that you tell me I'm not supposed to look at. It looks to me like somehow we're down 4 million people working from when this all started.
Yeah.
Now, is that enough to cause all these problems? I mean, most of the extra money people were getting for staying at home and stuff, that's all gone.
Gone now, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, when everybody's talking about these, I mean, what I was saying is I never heard people talk so much about a subject, and I never get a piece of information. I mean, yesterday they were going wild about 4 days for a for a tanker to sit out waiting for a port in China. Well, kind of what's normal? 2 days? I can't believe that when the thing pulls up, there's a band waiting for him on the dock. I mean, there has to be some sort of. What are we talking? It's normally 3 days, or it's normally 1 day?
No, Chief, it's much worse than that. This is in China.
Port
delay here in the United States.
No, this was China. This was not here.
I know. But over here, remember that once that thing loads, it's got to go somewhere, yep. Right? All right. So right now, it is well over a month. On our end in the U.S.
Okay, so what if you had to, what I mentioned earlier, not to repeat, is if I was Joe Biden and I was going to California to talk about shortages, I'd send somebody ahead of me, I'll say assistant, not flunky, ask the guy who runs the port. I want a list of the 1,000 people who worked there before and the people now. And if there's 200 missing, I want to know what happened to them. Did 100 of them retire? Did 100 of them die from COVID? I doubt it. Did 100 of them go to London because they're paying more dough there? I need to know what I'm dealing with before I can fix it. But
you're not getting that. You're not getting that reported. We'll know here in another 10 or 15 minutes whether or not the decline that I have noted and that we've talked about, for the last 6 months when I've been coming on Jobs Friday, whether or not it's continuing. Right? I suspect it is, but we're going to find out. And there's a couple of things going on. I mean, when people go we're talking about the non-institutionalized civilian population here. We're not talking about people leaving the workforce. We're talking about people leaving the planet.
Right, or someplace, yeah.
Well, they're leaving the planet,
yeah.
Okay, or at least they're leaving the United States on a permanent basis. And one way or another, that's extremely ugly. But I'm just going to read you this right here. This is from somebody who just posted this within the last 30 seconds. It's having an impact on me. I haven't even had to submit my exemption request yet, but I'm probably going to be on the street before Thanksgiving. My productivity is declining as I contemplate that.
Why is he getting tossed?
Because he won't take the jab.
Oh, all right.
All right. So here's a guy who's and here's the thing. He just posted this on as a comment to my thing that I put up this morning. This is the problem. There's millions of people who are in this exact position. They either comply because they have to, in which case their productivity is permanently trashed because now they hate everybody involved, or they give up. They put the middle finger up and they walk off. Okay, and oh, by the way, if this threat that we're not going to give anybody unemployment who does this holds, okay, now they got no money.
Well, Kyle, other than the people that you've talked about, and I've actually read some other places, so confirm, other than the people that they, to me, foolishly want to give the vaccine to that had the actual COVID like a month ago.
Right.
I mean, other than those people, if you've never had it, where do you think the shot's hurting anybody? I mean, I haven't seen. I mean, they stopped giving it to kids over in Sweden like 2 days ago, right? And
it's hurting people on balance is children in general, not in certain specific cases, right? I mean, there are kids that have serious conditions that the balance probably goes their way, okay?
But you're not saying that for people that are over 70 that have not had the COVID and hasn't come near their area, they shouldn't get vaccinated, are you?
Generally, no. I'm not saying that but the problem is that we're not getting accurate data to be able to personally make that decision. And when you start issuing mandates, what you've said is that this isn't going the other way. The problem with it is we don't know what that is. Okay, and the so-called VAERS system that's supposed to track this that is allegedly mandatory, and by the way, in the law it is. Okay. Is deliberately not being reported. There have been multiple people in the healthcare system that have reported that their bosses have said you are not filing any suspected connections between that and whatever's going on with this guy sitting here on the table in front of you. And if you do it, you're getting fired.
Well, why is it? I mean, just in general, because we get ourselves ready for this report. But just in general, why is it? And listeners send me a lot of this stuff. Okay, and some of it I stumble across myself, but. Virtually every study that I read that seems to make sense, it sounds like somebody who is actually trying to do some scientific work is coming from overseas. I mean, why is it
yep.
that why isn't there a guy like me who had it in last October, at my age, why isn't there a little graph, in the Washington Post or New York Times every week that says, okay, we've monitored X number of people, a random sample of people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, all the way up, that have had COVID, and we're gonna pay them whatever, $20 a week or $20 a month to take us a blood sample and find out where their antibodies are. And I'm not going into the T cells and other stuff that you know more about.
Right.
Why can't we just have a something that we all believe and say, okay, for somebody who's 62 or whatever, it looks like at the 25 week mark or the 25 month mark or 25 year mark, it looks like your antibodies are dropping off and maybe you should get a booster. I mean, why isn't this just so cut and dried? Because I got this one from Europe that said, and they keep expecting people's antibodies that had the COVID to drop, and they're not dropping. They're hanging in there well, if that's the case, why are we forcing these people to get a shot? I mean,
that's exactly the problem, is that nobody's doing this. Right, here's the thing that really, really gets under my skin. So with every other disease we've ever had, if you've had it, there's utterly no reason why anybody's going to try to shove that jab down your face. Okay, I mean, measles, chicken pox, yeah, whatever. Right? They just don't. They're, because it's stupid. So we're here doing this, and yet you can order. I got them from a site over in England. They shipped them to me, right? And I had some ones from Asia early from last year. You can get a finger stick style antibody test. Costs about $10. Okay, and you can just go down the street here in this area. You go to Kroger, and they'll do it for $25. Okay, and I get it. You know, they basically, you paid the dude at the pharmacy counter $15 to stick your finger, right?
Well, that's all right. I mean,
that's not an unreasonable charge for that. So
no,
he made sure that he didn't give you an infection when he did it and things like that.
It's not like you haven't paid somebody $15 to bring you a scotch.
Well, there you go. I mean, you go to a bar, what's the cost for a decent drink, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that a crazy price? No, it's not a crazy price. But the thing is this, it'll tell you within 10 minutes right there on the table in front of you, do you have detectable antibodies against COVID-19? So why didn't we do this before we jabbed everybody who had the disease?
Well, that's when I did mine, I went to my doctor who's not tied into one of these big things so he can actually speak his own mind. I said, Doc, where am I with this? And he goes, well, COVID was about here. And he goes, even though there might have been some T-cell after that, he goes, You're pushing 8 months. He goes, it's probably time. You're certainly far enough away where you're not going to get hurt by it. Because I would never recommend it, right after you had it. He says, but get your two shots, but do not take a booster until they fix the booster. So, I mean, I thought that was, now does that make sense to you, what he told me?
Well, you don't know. I mean, that's the whole problem is without data, you don't know.
Right, but it's
okay.
I've
had COVID conclusively, yeah, because I tested myself repeatedly during the time leading up to it, and I was negative for antibodies, and now I'm positive. So I know factually that what I got was COVID.
Well, I know I do too.
That I'm going to keep checking. Okay. But my expectation, based upon the data I've seen come out of other places, is that I could probably stick my finger in 2 years and I'm still going to have a detectable titer.
Yeah, and I think that's longer. But I don't see how you can ignore that when we, what do we think? Yeah, 80 million people have had it, or some huge number. How do you?
Well, it's probably by the data that the New England Journal of Medicine published, 20% of the population had had it by May.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in Chicago, they thought it was more than that.
But, I mean, you think about how many people that is. That's crazy. That's like 60 million.
Well, see, Carl, the part you're missing is, we got to go break here. The part you're missing is the people who deliver the sandwiches, deliver your mail, take the garbage, and all that stuff, they don't count. They're like the serfs.
Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, they don't count. S&P futures up 7, NASDAQ's up 27. We'll be right back real quick with these numbers.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom. It's Mr. Thomas Hall on the board. We have Mr. Carl Denninger with us. We got the numbers positive 194. We're supposed to be like 500,000. Unemployment rate is down to 4.8. Average hourly earnings are up 0.6% versus 0.4%. That's exactly kind of what you look at if you want to dig out that old term stagflation. And now, of course, I'm looking at the wrong report. Before Carl tells me I'm looking at the wrong report,
You are. But this is a punky number, and that number that I've been watching, which is that non-institutional decline, it is accelerating. It's bad.
Okay, so and if you go to the stuff. The first one you're going to find is household data historical. A1 was the employment status of civilian non-institutional population 16 years and over 1986 to date. That's the one I'm looking at. Carl tells me there's a better one, but okay. I've got, the amount of people up, roughly 150,000, right? That are
right.
Over 16 and whatever. I've got people in the labor force are actually down. Well, the amount of people in the labor force is down 200,000. This is the funky thing that I don't get, Carl. We got, according to the household data, we're up 500,000 people working. We're down 600,000.
794 unadjusted.
Okay. Well, all right. I must be looking at the adjusted, but I've got a bunch of people, less people unemployed, or at least getting unemployment benefits, because we really don't know who the hell, we don't count unemployed. As soon as you're not getting a check, you're considered. But then,
right.
But then the column of we don't know what the hell they're doing is actually up 350,000. Well, make that almost 400,000 people, almost to a number where it was last March. How can that be?
Well, yeah, this is so. Here's the problem: is that we're at 103.73 on the we don't know what they're doing line. It's plus 550 on the month that was plus 1.1 million last month. And the really nasty part of this is that the non-institutional population growth rate on a 12-month run rate basis is now down to 9.11. It was 9.65 last month, and this normally runs about 2 million, okay, on a 12-month run rate. this turned and started declining in February, and it has been on a nonstop downward express elevator to hell since. This is very bad.
Okay, wait. What number are you looking at in that number?
Okay, so this is the top line civilian non-institutional population. That was not adjusted. Okay, so the so-called seasonal adjustment. If you look at the left three columns and then the ones over to the right, you'll see that they're the same. That's the only one on that table that's not. They make a mass adjustment in January of every year to remove whatever errors they accumulate based upon the census, the community survey, the ACS, that's sent out every year.
Hey, Kyle, can you let me know? I forgot to do what's going on in the market here. I'll do this real fast because I want to get back to this, obviously, real quickly. S&P futures now up 1. NASDAQ futures up 37, so virtually unchanged on the number. Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei. Well, this hasn't changed. Nikkei is up 370. It's 1.3%. Shanghai up 24.7. Hang Seng up 136.5. The key one there is the Shanghai, because they've been closed for a week, yet it's barely unchanged on the week, which is basically what we are. DAX down 18, FTSE up 4, CAC down 28, so not much going on over there. We've got oil still up 57 cents, so that's a mover. We've got bonds at 1.57. They were over 1.6 for a while, and we've got gold up 550. But back, just give us a real quick report on what you got going, Thomas.
All right. So it is now 7:36 here in Chicagoland area. It is currently 66 degrees. We're going to see a high of 71. Some chance of precipitation. We are looking at the Phoenix weather, which is currently 71 degrees. They're going to get a high of 91. Check this word out, Chief, which I thought was fun. In our traffic here in Chicago, there has been reportedly dozens of vehicles that have fallen to a gigundo pothole, or if you prefer, reports of a moon crater-sized pothole on the I-80 eastbound in Joliet near the Chicago street.
That whole area is a horrible construction site.
Yeah, so obviously beware of that as they enter here in the Chicagoland area. The Sox... In sports, Chief, the Sox fell in the game one of the ALDS 1-6 against the Houston Astros. The other game, the Red Sox fell in game one to the Tampa Bay Rays 0-5. The schedule looks today. The White Sox will play at Houston. They have Lucas Giolito going on the bump. That is a 1:07 start time. Atlanta versus Milwaukee. We have Boston versus Tampa. And in the nightcap, we got the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the San Francisco Giants. In the NBA, the Bulls do play at home here in a preseason game against the New Orleans Pelicans. And lastly, in the NFL yesterday, the Rams defeated the Seattle Seahawks 26-17. Chief.
Girl, we can, this is, I don't. Where are people going? Are they? They're not dying, are they? I mean, what do they have? What's happening to them?
Well, I think they are, and that's the problem. Is that the? I mean, you can't come to any other reasonable conclusion. I've been following this data for a long time. Okay, and when we had all of the, there have been times that this thing has dipped, on a 1 month basis, or on a 2 month basis, or a 3 month basis, and it always catches back up, and it spikes higher for 3 or 4 months, and it picks up all of what it lost, okay? And most of the time when that happens is January, and right around January. So December, January, February, that's typically when these things get done. And why? Because that's when the BLS picks up the ACF data and fixes the mistakes. And so there is a pattern with this. It's very consistent. Like I said, I've got this data going all the way back to 2000 from, my own table here, which is rolled off their site. If you go to the BLS site, you can only pull back a certain
thing. Yeah, I know. I ran off somewhere here. I ran off the real historical. But I've got the civilian non-institutional population is pretty much steady, a little growth in the last 8 months. How do you adjust a population number?
Well, what they do is, to some extent, this is a guess, okay? But the ACS runs every year, all year long. So the ACF is this census project that sends this long-form thing to your house, and you may have never seen one, but statistically you'll get one eventually. And it's off the 10-year cycle, okay? And it has nothing to do with the 10-year cycle. And that is a separate set of data, and that is what many of the agencies, including the BLS, use to come up with these numbers. And that's, I mean, it's statistically, it's relatively good because it's a sample that's taken all the time under exactly the same set of conditions. It's done the same way every year, and it's been done that way for a long time. There's only once that I've gotten it in the mail, but I have gotten one before.
Okay, I think I got something. It asks you like a gazillion questions. It's a big long thing.
Yes, it's huge. It's like 20 pages long.
Yeah, I think I got one maybe 3-4 years ago, but I actually sent it in. So. It was truthful.
Yeah, some percentage of them are not returned. But the thing is that these are, I mean, this is the data source that they use for this kind of thing over time. And, if I look inside these data tables, okay, I've talked about how most of the gains since the last few years have been in the lower educated area, right? Okay. Well, this month, you've got literal goose eggs. For everybody who has not got a college degree of some kind, you've got an extremely small gain in people with an associate's or some college, and the little gain that there was, which isn't much, was there's three ticks, is in those people with bachelor's degrees. So there is really no movement here in the jobs market, except that we have these people disappearing out of the labor force, and they're not just gone from the standpoint of not working; they're gone.
Chief, we have a email from a listener, and we just they wanted to know when you see these numbers, and how do you leverage the numbers as an investment tool? So, how would you look at this and say, okay, what maybe area of investment or particular job area do you or don't you even try to focus in on and make some wise investment decisions based off of that number?
Well, I'm going to answer it somewhat cynically in what has been happening for the last 12 years in my view is you view the numbers and you make a stab at what you think the Fed thinks of the numbers and if they continue to pour money in or not. And I'm going to say that today's numbers will be greeted with somewhat of relief by Wall Street because it means that the Fed does not have to taper so quick because the things are not growing as fast as they thought they were or hoped they were. So now they got to keep throwing money at people. I mean, that unfortunately is my cynical way of looking at it. Carl, do you have a different view? It's all about what their reaction is going to be because you can't fight with hundreds of billions of dollars going into the system every week or not if they decide to go the other way. You can talk all you want about how great these companies are. These guys actually start pulling money out of the system. This market's going down, in my opinion. So I think it has to do with how other people, you have to gauge how other people think of them, right, Carl? And it's
right. Yeah, no, I agree with you entirely. I mean, today, I think what you're going to see is, this is certainly not going to generate a crash, Friday morning, right? And if anything, it's going to lead people to believe that the Fed, in the short term, is basically going to sit on their hands. Despite what's going on Capitol Hill, despite the game that was played, hey, let's just throw another $450 billion on the credit card for the next month. Despite that, it's the report is a yawner in that it doesn't say, hey, there were 2 million people added to the employed count last month. Uh-oh. All right. So that's not the case. The problem, though, is that the internals in here say that over the next, over the next year, you're going to have a severe cost push side on the labor force. And it's ratcheting higher, and that pressure is not going away. There's no evidence. I mean, the evidence from here, especially with this non-institutional population, if that continues, and you've got people being shoved out of the labor force, they're going to the, well, I'm going to, sit on my hands and smoke bong hits.
fine, except that leaves fewer and fewer people that are there to take those positions. So now you can people over mandates, or you force them into a situation where they don't want to work, and so they, you know, they go to work, but they do a Soviet-style job. What is this going to do to the input costs on the labor side, and what does that do to inflationary pressures? Does it happen in a week or a month? No. But 6 months to a year out, this is how you generate a monster recession.
The term stagflation does come to mind.
Yeah, it does. And the problem is that it eventually is going to force the Fed's hand. It's not going to happen tomorrow. But at some point, and then you look at, well, you know, there's people that say, well, they can't because it instantly detonates the federal government with regards to their borrowing costs. Welcome to Coffin Corners, folks. I mean, you know, you're going at a certain speed in a jet. You're also climbing. You get to the point where you get between the Mach buffet that tears your wings off, and you don't have any lift, and you crash. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of pushing that sort of thing. It's like the heroin addict who keeps shooting up more because he's not getting high, and yet his tolerance for that, where it suppresses his respiration to the point that he expires, that doesn't move very much.
Well, Kyle, the part that I feel that maybe the two of us, last thing I want to do is be the engineer that says you needed forged bolts on that bridge, not cast, and they said, screw you, we're using cast anyway. I don't think either one of us want the bridge to come down someday, yet we also know that one of these days we're going to be right, you know, and unless somebody goes back and replaces them with forged bolts. But I don't get where the mindset constantly is interest rates can't move unless the Fed wants them to. That's so categorically wrong and scary. I mean, if all of a sudden what people have to decide is, wait a minute, if my inflation rate's 8%, I'm not giving money to anybody at 2%. I don't care who it is. It could be God. I need 10. That's what's going to change long-term rate. The Fed is not. They're a leader on short-term rates in the short term. They are not a leader in long-term rates ever, never.
See, you know what? If you go back and you take a look at the, even in the short term, and you can get all this data off Fred, you know, St. Louis Fed publishes this wonderful set of data that anybody can query and go in there and just look at it. You will find that in almost every case, the market moves in front of the Federal Reserve, even on the short end.
Well, that's right. And
they're not by a lot, but they do. And the reality is, if people say don't fight the Fed, the reality is don't fight the market.
Well, but the
even
Fed is
for the Fed.
But the Fed has done this. It has, because I keep asking myself, what is the difference between now when it's so obvious to me that this inflation has, you know, kicked its way up to where no way on earth could I get somebody's money. I could not get your dad's money, Carl, and put it in a 10-year note at 2% or 2.5%, like the man in the moon. I couldn't do that to somebody I didn't like, much less a client who I like and they're paying me. I mean, and yet people are doing it. So why is it every time you try and trade the other way, you get run over by a truck? Well, at some point, if you have a small fire and you show up with a 55-gallon drum of gasoline, you can actually put the fire out with gasoline. But which is what the Fed has been doing. Oh, Carl, you and Chief, you two idiots, think you're going to short these bonds? Well, here, I'm buying a billion of them today. Stay in my way if you dare. That's what they've been over. But if you look at the numbers, every month or every couple of months, they need more and more gas to put out the same fire.
Right.
To where they're up to, you know, 8-point-some-trillion dollars in a balance sheet. All right. So at the current rate, if they continue to not let the market move like the market, I think, wants to move, what's it going to be next year? 20? Then 40? Then 80? To where every single thing that Joe Biden or whoever's in office spends, he just goes to the wouldn't it be nice if you had a room in your house that every time you wanted to go to the bar, you just walk back there and say, run me off a couple more hundos and I'll go?
I mean, the thing is that the problem with doing that is that, you know, as somebody who's been in the markets as long as you have, as I know, somebody's been long as I have, when you start doing this sort of stuff, it doesn't show up in the economy right away.
No.
It takes, you know, it takes a year, year and a half before the real impact of it. And the problem is, that goes the other way, too. When you take the punch bowl away, it doesn't disappear in an afternoon.
Why do you think, Carl, I was actually wishing you were on a show the other day, because a lot of days I do, because why do you think, and I, to this day, and I go back and talk about this, I shouldn't, but it's, I think it's news because we're kind of doing the same thing. Why do you think in the 60s, 70s, and even early 80s, I mean, I know someplace, you know more about these numbers than I do, it's somebody's job in the CPI to figure out the price of brown rice, white rice, yellow rice, whatever the hell it is, and they're going to do it to the best of their ability. I'll give everybody a break because I honestly think people do, and on a monthly basis, I'm going to say that if you look at any one of those things, whatever it is, you know, men's Nehru suits or something, if there is such a thing anymore, that the person who's dragging those informations in is doing the best job they can, and they're probably somewhat timely. I mean, maybe a month behind or something. Yet it struck me back in the old days that it took a long time for stuff to work its way through the CPI, even after you and I, you know, back in the early 70s when I was in school. I mean, we knew prices were going up. You know, you'd drive by the gas station, and yet it took a while to get them into the numbers. And then at the end of the fiasco, there was no more. I mean, Dr. Jay and I'd be driving to work on Jan. We hear the CPI numbers coming out today, and he goes, "Because I haven't seen a price go up in 4 months." And sure enough, it would come through with some huge increase. Why is there that much of a delay when I think the people are somewhat current as into what they're doing? That's why when I see these people buying all these VIX calls in November, which somebody bought like $45 million worth of, the only way that they could be looking at a number in November is they must, somebody either has a feeling that there's going to be a CPI adjustment that month, or Russell thinks that it's right after the 30 days that Evergrande gets grace period to pay people. I'm going to say probably neither one of those are right, but it's the best guesses that he or I can come up with. Why is this? Why are these numbers so lagging? I mean, right now everybody knows the price of houses is up what, 25% in the last 2 years?
Yeah.
And yet if you look at the CPI, it's 2%. Now,
I've talked about that before. That's this owner's equivalent rent thing, which is a total load of crap.
Well,
they do those things on purpose, and a lot of that was done after the Carter presidency. And when the whole CPI system was rejiggered to put all sorts of adjustments in there, and you know, people argue the hedonic adjustment and this other stuff is where the big dislocation comes from in terms of reality. It's not. It's owner's equivalent rent. I've talked about it a dozen times. It is the reason that index is essentially worthless. It is gained for the purpose of the federal government borrowing and the Federal Reserve.
Okay, but I'm saying even if they were straight, obviously I think the biggest screw up in there is in the last 20 years, they've got hospital at 6% of the basket, and it should be 20. If you go back and adjust medical expenses for the 20 years, you've had inflation the whole way. I mean, seriously.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the reality is that when you look at, just look at the best and most accurate way to square CPI numbers with the actual economy is what percentage of the economy is something, as a percentage of GDP, is a particular sector. Healthcare is 20%, $1.05. Okay, well, guess what? If it's not in the CPI at that weighting, it's wrong.
Right.
What is the largest expense for most people, unless you're truly filthy rich, is housing. It's the cost of acquisition of a house, it's the insurance, it's the power bill, it's the utility bill, you know, it's all the things that go into a place to live.
Well, or if you were paying your own health insurance, they're got to be almost equivalent.
Well, that one's there too, okay?
Yes.
But the thing is that if you want to know where the intentional distortions are, the easy way to find them is simply look at what percentage of GDP is represented by this sector, and guess what? Ultimately, everything that is in GDP ends up getting bought by somebody and consumed in one form or another.
But why do on the individual side? I mean, we spend a lot of money in education in this country, and I don't know if we get a lot for it, but we get something. Why is it even if you? I'm going to say the people on TV all have pretty good degrees and they're all pretty bright. I mean, it is somewhat the top of the learning curve. I mean, those guys getting those jobs and ladies are not morons. I mean, they all went to good colleges and Why is it that even the simplest stuff economically, I mean, as somebody who's making, you know, 200 grand a year, or 150 or whatever, you know, you're making more than that if you're a TV commentator, I guess, but say you're making 200 grand a year, why, just because your employer is, quote, paying for your health insurance, and it went up $400 a month last year, why don't you realize, if you're an educated man or woman, that that's $400 you would have had in your paycheck? And you actually are paying for it, the increase, because you would have gotten the raise, and instead of being $200,000 last year, you'd be making $204,800. Why don't people leap to that instant conclusion? They don't. Why?
Well, because they're never educated as to how that actually works, and in fact, it's intentionally hidden. One of the things I used to do when I ran MCS was that once a year, pulled everybody into the conference room and went through a hypothetical, taking all the people that worked there, took the average, you know, just took averages, because you can't use individual information. That's obviously not something you can legally do, especially when it comes to health, you know, health-related stuff. And just put it up on the board. Here is the total amount of money that this company spends on an average person. Here's how much that person gets in salary. Some of you make more, some of you make less. Here's the average. Here's how much gets sent to the government in taxes that you never see again. Okay, but yet I have to pay them. Okay, you know, and it's not just FICA and Medicare either. You know, it's unemployment and state unemployment, all the other nonsense. All these things that the government assesses against me. And here is the embedded cost of health insurance that you also don't see. Yeah, you get a small deduction in your check, but that is nowhere near the entire thing. I can't tell you, Chief, every single time that somebody left the company, every time, if they were on health insurance, when they got the COBRA packet in the mail, which by law I can only charge an extra 1% for processing, okay, that's the law. I did, because keeping track of that, not making a mistake, is, you know, I mean, it's stupid. I just charged whatever the actual number was. Every single time I sent one of those packets out, I got a phone call with people telling me that I was screwing them. I was intentionally taking 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times as much money. And by God, you bastard, you're putting it in your pocket. You're using it to go buy martini. No, I wasn't.
Yeah, it is astounding how much we can just blow by people. And I guess I don't know why. Until you're an employer, I guess you never know. I mean,
I guess
no. Well, you just don't see it, and in a lot of, you know, it's actually illegal to put most of those numbers on somebody's pay stub and show them how much it is.
Oh yeah, I knew that. I mean,
well, I guess as a layman, or as the guy on the other side of that coin, right, Chief? I guess I would say, from my perspective, we're inclined to believe that those are benefits, right? So when you get a quote unquote benefit, you don't incorporate that into your end game of what you're receiving as compensation. So, from my standpoint, obviously being around you and Carl and some of the other guys, I have a change of perspective. But you know, for the last, I would say 15, 20 years before that, I would always be like, well, I get health insurance. Great. That doesn't, I don't look at like my check and say, oh, that should be something that I am accumulating as a, you know, as an added compensation portion of, as opposed to, oh, this is just a perk or a benefit. And I think that's where the difference is.
It's totally added compensation.
Right, but I'm just telling you from someone who is someone typically you know, as someone, you don't look at that and say, hey, I'm making 50K a year. If I add in my health insurance, I'm making 55K. Like, I don't think it resonates to a normal individual.
Well, you're old enough to where it used to be. You know what? When I became a market maker on the, we only got a minute, Carl. You'll probably know the answer to this. When I became a market maker with a brown badge and 10 grand in my account, so I wasn't trading very much. And it was a dollar contract back then on the floor. My health insurance was included, right? And guess how much it was for me to have a clerk where I paid their health insurance for them and their family?
Oh, I don't know.
$75.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
And now it would be what, $1,500?
Or more.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah. We had people that were pushing $1,000 when I was running my company, and that was in the 1990s.
Kyle, thank you very much, buddy. A lot of good stuff as usual. We'll be, if I have any more questions, obviously we'll be writing back and forth. Have a nice weekend. SP futures up 11 now. NASDAQ futures up 90. Carl's right. Nothing bad in this report today. Fed's going to keep the money going. So we're up a little bit. Back on Monday, Stocks and Jacks.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? You? I don't want to see those returns. Be aggressive. Learn how to push. Talk to them. Ask them questions. Ask them rhetorical questions. Doesn't matter. Anything. Just get a yes out of them. If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.